guys. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome. And for those of you who are repeat offenders, welcome back to the Conscious Basket Show. My name is Samantha McCord, and I am the founder and CEO of Conscious Basket. And on the show, we are going to be interviewing extraordinary people just trying to make a difference in this world and giving you tips on how you can too. So as always, if you like what we do, please subscribe, download a couple episodes, and leave a comment below. I will read them all. But for now, let's just dive right in.
Take the time to know what you're putting in your body and how you feel as a result. And I'm not saying, you know, you need functional mushrooms. I'm not saying you need mushroom design, but I am saying that be mindful, because everything you put into your body is data, right? And if you're putting crap data in, you're going to get bad algorithms out, or, you know, the computer is going to die a lot sooner than you want it to.
Today, we welcome Ashley Southard, the co-founder of Mushroom Design, a supplement that combines 9 immune-boosting mushrooms and 9 cell-regenerating vitamins to help support your body without overdoing it. In this episode, we go over microdosing, our immune system, and how important it is to know what you put in your body. Let's dive right in.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Conscious Basket Show. My name is Samantha McCord. I'm the founder and CEO of Conscious Basket. And today we are welcoming Ashley, the founder and CEO of Mushroom Design. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, so glad to have here. You. It's always nice to have, like, you know, young female entrepreneurs on the show. I love seeing women succeed, and you are just crushing life. You have so many things that you're working on. Not to be a total creep, but I did check out your LinkedIn, and it looks like you have 3 projects happening at the same time. How do you handle all that?
Time blocking, that's for sure.
I need to learn that.
Yeah, I was actually just having a conversation right before this about, you know, how do you figure out what you're going to do with your week? I'm like, I spend an hour every Sunday time blocking. Like, it's a non-negotiable for me.
Okay.
Yeah. And that includes time blocking, even time for working out. Right. So if I didn't do that, I would get sucked into so many things, like calls and this and that. And it's so much easier for me to say, like, if someone's calling, sorry, like, call me in 30 minutes, or like, I know I have time in 30 minutes, or at 4 PM today or whatever. And it's just, it does make a huge difference. And while I still probably work 12 hours a day, it is a more productive 12 hours a day. And I'm not glorifying that. Don't get me wrong. Not glorifying overworking at all. But yeah, I am involved in 3 things right now, mainly mushroom design. That's been my baby for the last year. It is currently a functional mushroom supplement available for purchase online and on Amazon. But in the background, we are working on the psychedelic component of psilocybin and how it can be delivered in a really safe and reliable way at a microdose level. So if listeners are familiar with microdosing psilocybin or other plant substances, when a plant is in a natural state, it's still not totally reliable. You can still have a wavy experience. And that's what we've set out to improve with our design. And then in the background, I do have a nonprofit that I started with my co-founder, my previous company. It's called Ibogaine Research Institute. And its goal is to bring awareness to Ibogaine as a solution for opiate addiction. Iboga and Ibogaine, they are illegal in the United States, but unregulated outside of the US, and it literally eliminates opiate addiction overnight, or, you know, within 8 hours of treatment. And that's not requiring any methadone, suboxone, anything that other addiction therapies do require. So that's super exciting for us. And then I have my Healer Collective. It's a marketing and business strategy agency that supports businesses and healers that aren't particularly well-versed in business, because, of course, that's not their strong suit.
So you're working, you know, at your dad's company, you grew it, you killed it, but your heart was always telling you that you wanted something different. So I'm just curious, how did you really get the idea? Let's start with Mushroom Design. You know, like, how did you get the idea for Mushroom Design?
Sure. So I left the HVAC world, and I realized, you know, I need to go back to my health and wellness. Maybe I don't want to be a yoga teacher, but, like, my heart's here. My heart is in understanding the environment and product development around it, and you know, people like the healers that have this gift that can't really. I recognize that I'm not a healer. I support the healer, right? Like I'm not the yoga teacher, but I am the person that can help that yoga teacher run their studio because I know all the systems and how to work and build a team, right? So that's how. And I know you asked about mushroom design, but that's how Healer Collective got started because my business partner, Talia, we were like, wait, these healers need help. And this is our talent. Like, let's help them. And as a result of all of that, we got very involved in the plant medicine space because we started that nonprofit, Ibogaine Research Institute. We ourselves experienced the benefits of microdosing psilocybin, even macrodosing. And we've watched the trajectory of the psychedelic industry as it's unfolding faster than we ever thought, right? It's actually amazing to see. It's so funny because I have relatives that will send me like the article about psilocybin in Newsweek or this or that. And they're like, did you see this? I'm like, I love that I'm the mushroom person to you guys. Like finally, everybody's on the same page. But that's being in that health and wellness space. That's when I was like, you know what? I think that we should start a mushroom company. And Talia was more involved in the Ibogaine. And I have a friend and now business partner in mushroom design who has a capsule manufacturing company that's, you know, he's been in the business for 30 years. So we met and we were like, hey, we want a psychedelic mushroom company. Like we want to bring microdosing to the public. And that's great. But I don't want to deal with the legalization of it. And I know from being in the industry that there's so many people doing that. So I was like, you know what? Let's start a functional mushroom brand that is all science because there's a ton of mushroom brands on the market, right? But what we found when we did our market research and, you know, I intuitively realized this just being a mushroom consumer myself and like part of the hippy dippy consumer market, mushrooms are sold very, they're sold to, you know, early adopters, hippy dippy, brown bag, whatever, like, you know, anybody will buy them in that sphere. But when it comes to like your average consumer, which is what the majority of America is, there's nothing really sold to them. Right. And people in the wellness bubble, like usually the East and West Coast, Texas is really, you know, up to speed on things. They'll, you know, they're into the mushrooms, they're into the health and wellness, they're into biohacking, they're into all these things, but there are so many people that are not. And we take it for granted, I think, being in this space of like consciousness, health, wellness. Everybody knows about this. Nobody really knows about it, you know, outside of our bubble. So the goal was to make a friendlier brand that was backed by science, which is what most of the people would rely on more than, oh, like herbalism and Nutra, whatever. And like,
going to let you connect to your ancestors. People are like, what are you talking about?
And you know, most people are like, mushrooms are poisonous or they're psychedelic. No thanks. And so our goal has been this entire time, and we continue to do all of our research around it. What is the mechanism that these mushrooms are doing within the body on an individual basis? Because there's tons of research about, okay, taking this improves immunity, but we're missing the how. We're missing like, what are all these X, Y, Z between? And that's what we're doing with our studies right now.
Okay. And so we're talking about like the science behind the mushroom, right? So we're stepping back, waiting for, you know, the psychedelic mushroom to become legalized. And so we're looking at the supplements that you're creating for everyone today. Tell me a little bit about how your supplement stacks up to, let's say, another supplement and why yours is different and what really makes it super beneficial for everyone.
Of course. So our hero product, which is the one product we're selling right now, is 9 functional mushrooms and 9 vitamins. Part of the reason why it's all in one is because I can't stand all of the waste that goes into, you know, the nutrition component of people who are taking supplements. You know, I'm guilty of it myself. I would take, you know, mushrooms in a powder, and then I would take my B vitamins in their own plastic jar. And then I would, you know, take my vitamin C in a plastic jar. And I was just like, ugh, like this is, I recycle properly, but I know that most stuff that's even recycled properly doesn't get recycled.
Yeah.
So everything adds up. It's also, you're taking too much when you're taking in those doses. Because if you look at the back of most of your supplements, it'll say like 500% daily value or 1000% daily value, because these nutrients are so small that they literally can't fit it into, like if you were going to take the actual amount, it'd be like, yeah, but like dissolve on your finger before it made it into your mouth. So, I mean, most of these things, they're not toxic to your body, but also why do you want your body processing things that it doesn't need to? It's just, at the end of the day, it's more energy towards something that is not as effective that could be spent on something else. It's kind of like time, you know, like it's a sunk cost if you're giving it to something that's beneficial versus not as beneficial. So we put the 9 vitamins all in one, vegan, of course, and the 9 functional mushrooms in dosages that are what the body needs, but not excessive. And then being all in one package, you're not wasting anything, especially because everything is compostable. You know, everything's in a glass jar. You get your refills in a compostable pouch. That was super important for us at the beginning of the company, that, you know, we had to be carbon neutral, if not carbon negative, because there's no point in supporting our health if we're not supporting the planets, because planets are home.
Yeah, it's all intertwined. And I just love that about you guys. And taking a step back and like looking at the traditional supplements, like you had mentioned, like you really don't need all of that B12. You don't really need all of that vitamin C. Like it's just an excessive amount and your body just lets it go anyway.
Like, that's why when you take too much of a B complex, your pee literally turns like nuclear color.
Yeah.
It's not anything terrible for you, but it just shows how much you're wasting. Like you're wasting money and your body's like ability to process things. So,
yeah, and it's also making we were talking about this before, it makes your liver work harder. So your body is like processing these things. And when we think about these supplements, when we take too much of them, it's making your kidney work much harder and you're wasting it. You end up peeing it out. And I was just curious, or looking at, you know, your supplements, you know, we're stacking up against maybe just more of a traditional supplement. What makes a supplement regulated? Like, how does that work? Like, how do we understand, like, okay, this is a regulated supplement. This is actually good. Like, how do I differentiate?
So when it comes to supplements, they're not treated as pharmaceuticals. So the FDA doesn't have to say anything about it. They don't have a say. You have the National Institute of Health, NIH, which is the guiding like light post of what the dosages should be. And they update, you know, this is an entire body of scientists that are like, this is all they focus on. And so they do update their records every year. It's very rare that vitamins like, you know, like the B vitamins, C, D, E, et cetera, it's very rare that there's a change. Of course, we always check whenever they release anything annually to see if there is. That being said, because there isn't like a regulating body for vitamins and supplements, when you're looking at purchasing supplements, it's important to make sure that it's in a cGMP facility.
Okay.
Which means good manufacturing practices. That means
okay.
They have all their insurances. They get cleared, you know, for inspection quarterly or annually. It depends on, it does depend on the ingredients that they're working with as far as how often it's needed. You also want to look for the sourcing of the ingredients, especially if it's herbal. You do want it organic. You want it grown in the US. Even your your vitamins and like the vitamin C, D, E, et cetera, you want US grown or US made. Even though those are technically synthetic, like here's another thing that drives us nuts in this industry is when you see like organic vitamin C or organic vitamin E. It's not possible for those things to be organic. They can be created from organic matter, but they're made in a lab. So there's a lot of greenwashing, and we see this not just in supplements. We see the greenwashing, you know, in clothing and in all everything. Like people will use green tags to kind of brainwash into thinking that it's, you know, and I'm sure you speak a lot to that on your podcast with other, other founders and business owners, but the Yeah. So that's one thing to look out for. Does this even make sense? Like, yes, it's totally normal for mushrooms, herbs, all those other things to need to be organic and USA grown. But if it's a vitamin, it doesn't make sense for it to be organic. You do want it CGMP, you do want it USA made, but it's something that it's kind of like buyer beware, like to this doesn't really make sense. And then dosing, you know, if we see a lot of, especially now with COVID, like 5,000% vitamin C or 5,000% vitamin D, even zinc. Zinc is one that we see a lot at like 50 or even 100, instead of like, you should not go beyond 15.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, even going 10, and this is if you're taking it daily. Of course, if you're like combating a cold and you're like shocking yourself with vitamin with them, I mean, zinc, like it's fine to overload for a few days, but, and we're seeing this, especially now with COVID, but just like the excessive zinc, and zinc builds up in the body. Zinc is not something that just you pee out.
It stays.
It doesn't, and don't quote me on this, it doesn't like stay forever, but it causes some problems in the liver to constantly have to be processing.
Okay.
Versus something like the B vitamins, where it's just like, okay, bye-bye.
Like a
same thing with colloidal silver. Colloidal silver has a long life within the body. So I know that a lot of people do consume colloidal silver when like killing something, even topically. It's something that is okay to use, but don't use it every day.
Okay.
Don't use it like for like so much. And we, you know, it goes back to where we see in adaptogens and even in functional mushrooms. You don't want to constantly be giving the body something that it like can't even establish its own rhythm anymore. Right.
Yeah.
So with functional mushrooms, with herbs, adaptogens, all of these things they possess amazing healing qualities, but they're not like specific actions, right?
Okay.
It's not like this fits into here and that's the only result. It's more like, okay, this mushroom or this herb enters the body and this affects this hormone and this circadian rhythm and this affects this and this affects this. And it's like, there's so many reactions from this one thing being input that it's a little scary to be inputting this all the time without like a real knowledge of what's going on. So
when
it comes to these types of things, you should be cycling. You should be using an adaptogen for 2 to 3 months at a time, and then 2 to 3 months off, or 2 to 3 weeks at a time, 2 to 3 weeks off. And it's interesting because you see the same thing in a microdosing regimen.
Okay. Right?
So when you're microdosing any psychedelic, the protocol is generally 2 to 3 weeks on, 2 to 3 weeks off. So it ties into the wisdom of the plants, right? Because these are herbs, whether it's functional or whether it's psychedelic, it's a dance with the body. It's not, you're just overloading the body. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I love it. It's the wisdom of the plants. And I think that most things in life are a dance, right? It takes two to tango for anything, right? So your body's reaction to whatever you're putting in your body, good, bad, it has a dance that it does do. So, and you talk about, you know, the wisdom of the plants. You guys source and sourcing. So tell me a little bit how you guys source your mushrooms and why that's important to the way that you guys actually create the capsules.
Of course. So we get our mushrooms out in Petaluma in California, organically grown on brown rice. I visited, I think, 4 or 5 mushroom farms before deciding that this is the one, put a ring on it. it comes down to the facility's ability to qualify for CGMP, because at the end of the day, like that matters.
It must.
All.
It's a must.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, vegan organic was not even an option.
Right.
And the fact that it's grown on brown rice rather than oat or sawdust, because you can grow mushrooms a lot cheaper on oats and on sawdust, but that's also not as effective for the benefits, the nutrition. And, you know, sawdust isn't something you want to consume because I mean,
is it really? I mean, it's so they what they put it down on like on the ground, and that's what it's absorbing the for the nutrients in the, like dirt, or why is that important?
So it's kind of like you have the mushroom is grown on something as if okay. a plant is grown in dirt. So it's picking up still things from whatever is
in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sawdust is generally not natural wood or like straight, you know, it's been processed from a factory. So it's like leftover. You don't want that. Oat is fine. There's nothing wrong with oat. We prefer brown rice because we use the leftover as protein that goes into our current vegan protein powder, which is not on the market yet, but will be in 3 to 6 months. So yeah. And we just found that the fiber and protein content of the brown rice and mushroom, like leftovers that go into our vitamin, is better balanced than oat.
Okay.
So yeah, there's no shade to people that grow mushrooms on oat.
Yeah. It's just you're thinking more about like the circular economy and thinking about there's so much intentionality in mushroom design, you know, vegan. We've got cruelty free, the way that it's grown, the way that it's actually packaged and combined. And your packaging, I thought this was the coolest thing because I think a lot of the times it's overlooked and people don't realize the afterlife of their packaging is very important. Just because it leaves your house doesn't mean that, like you mentioned, doesn't mean that it's recycled, even though you put it in the recycle bin. It doesn't mean that it's not floating in some trash island somewhere. It needs to be biodegradable and compostable. And you mentioned it a little bit before, but I would love to run through like the source printing, the recycled boxes, and like how you guys made this whole full circle, even afterlife of the product.
Totally. And before going into that, I think it's important to go over some points as to why it's so important, right?
Okay.
Plastic waste, it's not only contributing to like microplastics in the air and in our water sources and killing sea life, it's also contributing to ocean acidification. And then when the ocean is acidified to an extent, and there are other contributing factors, don't get me wrong, but there are certain aspects in the ocean that are affected by plastic that then prevent like certain algae from being able to do what they need to do to allow for these organisms to feed on that and do this. And it's just like, it's a massive, massive problem that we don't notice because we're not in the ocean. Right. I mean, my co-founder and I, because we're, you know, in Miami and on the water, we do notice this a little more. Like over the last 10 years, the amount of plastic that we see going diving is disgusting compared to previously. But it's just a reminder that there's so much more out there than us, and every little thing does count, as cliche as that sounds. And for us, it was like, this isn't an option. I don't want to bring a product to market that doesn't meet our standards of, okay, this is not going to harm the planet. And so in doing that, it was a lot of research. And if anyone's listening and has any questions about packaging or like how to get this and how to get that, feel free to contact me because, you know, I'm always in support of giving all of packaging and resources to companies who want to really implement it in their process. So starting with our box, 100% recycled, even though our branding, if you look at our branding, it's like clean and white and blue and whatever. And, you know, a brown box is kind of counter to that. It is because it's 100% recycled.
Yeah.
Most companies who say recycled, it's generally between 25 to 50% recycled material. The remainder is virgin because it's just cheaper for production.
Greenwashing, so just like we were talking about.
Yeah, and there's no regulation on what's considered recycled. Mm. There isn't like at least in the US, I'm not familiar with European standards, so perhaps there is there, but here you can literally use 15% recycled material and
you call, still it recycled. Call it recycled.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, and it is, you know, I can respect that people need to cut the cost. At the end of the day, our recycled box costs double of what like a 15 to 25% recycled box costs. And then our packaging is printed with algae ink, which is carbon negative, super cool for us. And we don't use any like pamphlets. We just print directly on the box and inside the box, the instructions. And then inside the box is the, when you buy your first subscription, you get a glass jar that's reusable for life. And it comes in the box with this foam, which is made out of 100% non-GMO cornstarch. You could literally eat it. We like it. Dogs, we like to give it to dogs as a toy because they get really confused when it like dissolves fast.
In their mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Kids, like babies, love to watch it dissolve in the sink. Like it literally dissolves within like 20 to 30 seconds of water. It's cool.
Wow. That's very cool.
Yeah. And then the pouch is totally compostable, backyard compostable. You tear it, you fill it. And then refills are sent in the same pouch in the non-GMO cornstarch foam and then a compostable mailer outside of that. So,
yeah,
you know, it all starts at the product design stage. And I'll say that it's much easier for a company that's just starting, right? It's very hard for a company that's already, you know, it's got its budgets, it's got its SKUs, it's got all of this lined up, and implementing these practices is like, oh my God, this literally doubles the cost for us. Like,
yeah,
our shareholders won't approve that. But, and like, when it comes to how can we fix things there, again, one step at a time, you know, increase your 15% recycled material to 25%, like small changes, because the more that more companies do this, the cheaper it becomes for everybody. And then the more normal it is, and that is the new normal, which is a very exhausted phrase. This COVID
that's
going
true.
On,
but it's so true at the same time. I mean, if everybody got on board, it would definitely, it would be an agent for change for the manufacturer, the box manufacturing groups. Yeah. So like, you know, we look at like an international paper or something like that. If everybody and their clientele is requesting that it be 100% recycled, you know, if the packaging needs to be the cornstarch, you know, little peanuts that we can dissolve, like that's the route we have to go. I always feel like with especially Conscious Basket, thinking in a whole like scheme of things, if everybody focus on, you know, making one change, I think that you guys have just, it's so intentional. I keep saying that over and over again, but there's not a better word for it. Intentionality with the organization, making sure that it's impacting nothing except for your own health in a positive way. Carbon neutral or carbon negative is the goal. And all of this makes all the difference. I really like the refillable container idea. I think more and more people need to be doing that. And then when you're looking at even like the ingredients in the mushrooms, I looked at the ingredients and some of these mushrooms are pretty funky. We've got some really cool, funky mushrooms. We got chaga, cordyceps, reishi, lion's mane, mitake. Is that right?
Shiitake,
oyster, turkey tail, and agaricon.
Agaricon.
Yeah. Excuse me. So if you were to pick like, you know, your top, you know, favorite two, because I know that they all like have calcium in them. They all have like some consistency. So tell me a little bit about the consistencies between all of them, and then pick like a couple of the mushrooms that you're like, this is a dope mushroom. Nobody knows about it really. And this is why we picked it.
Totally. So they all support immunity in some way. Certain ones do have specific little immune antagonizers that activate, like the maitake has these specific Z fractions and D fractions that you know, are not found in other mushrooms. And then what a lot of them do support blood sugar, they all are prebiotic fiber. So this is in the probiotic, I'll go into this now. So prebiotic and I was just having a conversation. They were like, oh my God, that's what prebiotic means. Okay. So with your biome, your gut biome, your skin biome, all of that, right? You have the probiotics, which are the good bacteria, but those probiotics need their food. And that's what prebiotics are. So probiotics feed on the prebiotics. Okay. And prebiotics are what your body can't digest itself. So it's kind of like this, I'm forgetting, what is it? Like when there's the small creature that lives on the big creature that eats thing that the, you know, what, okay, symbiotic, so relationship.
Symbiotic relationship. So you have something inside your body, like a symbiotic relationship with the prebiotic and the probiotics.
Yeah. So your body, your digestive system can't digest the prebiotics without the probiotics to digest it.
Oh.
So, I mean, taking prebiotics without having the ability to consume it doesn't cause many problems. You just go to the bathroom and it goes out. It's when you have if you have too many probiotics and not enough prebiotics to feed them, that's when you can experience skin issues. You can experience stomach issues. And that's why, like, you know, there's this whole probiotic, kombucha, all these great things.
Yeah.
And that's all super active. If you're not feeding it with the stuff it feeds on, then it's kind of, I'm not saying it's attacking your system, but it's not functioning. The balance is off. Right.
Right.
So that being said, if you're taking probiotics, you need prebiotics, and mushrooms are actually an excellent prebiotic. They're a fiber.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Learn a prebiotic, probiotic, and how all that.
I had no
together.
Clue. Yeah. I did not know that.
So when we go, so our blend does have the 9 mushrooms that you rattled off. 2 of my favorite, I think, are lion's mane, which is really well known, but here's something that's not discussed as much, and it goes back to the gut. Lion's mane is like the brain mushroom, right? It helps cognitive support, neural repair, nerve growth factor, all that jazz. What's not spoken about often is how the same things in your brain are in your gut as well. And that's why you have this whole gut brain axis. You have these receptors that behave in the same way. They use the same neurochemicals to communicate. I mean, there's the statistic, like 98% of your happy hormones are made in your gut.
Oh.
Don't quote me on that. It might be 96%. It's a lot though.
A high percentage.
It is a very high percentage. And so lion's mane, supports neural growth here, but it also supports the digestive health as a result.
Okay.
And then my other favorite is agaricon. Nobody talks enough about agaricon. It's like the genius. I feel like it's the Elon Musk, right? It's like, he probably was super quiet in school, but like he was the genius. And like, agaricon is that, right? It is an antiviral. It's shown in studies to eliminate symptoms of HSV1, which is herpes.
Wow.
In cows, not in humans yet. Point is that it is a very powerful antiviral that we haven't paid enough attention to. And I'm excited at Mushroom Design to explore as we uncover our research with how it works specifically.
Antiviral is so important right now, as everyone knows. We were just saying, like, the new normal is, like, how many times can we say that, you know? And it's one of those things where we have to be prepared for antiviral at all times. There's viruses in your body constantly attacking you, then you don't even know that they're there. So if you don't have the soldiers in place to be able to fight them, then you get tired, stressed, whatever, your immune system drops, and boom, they win the fight. So that is a super important piece of your health. And so you're talking a little bit about microdosing before, and obviously I've heard of microdosing in like Silicon Valley and, you know, microdosing for, you know, opening up your mind, but you guys do microdosing for your health. And I just thought that was so interesting. Can you explain to the listeners your version of microdosing for Mushroom Design?
Yeah. So yeah, I love that analogy you made. You're like, you microdose functional mushrooms too. And I was like, oh, you're right. Because we're giving it to... We're giving the functional mushrooms to the body in a way that doesn't overactivate the immune system. And like you were just saying, how we have to be on guard, we have to have the soldiers in place for, you know, when a virus does make its way into our body. When a virus makes its way into our body, though, we don't want our soldiers to be so weak that they can't fight. And that's what happens if you're taking so many things that are provoking the immune system. So functional mushrooms support the immune system by antagonizing it, basically. They're like, hey, I'm an invader, be aware. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the way a vaccine works. You know, you're putting something into your body that is the traditional vaccine, not the mRNA vaccines. Your body recognizes this and it creates the adaptation to fight it in the future. Now, you're not going and vaccinating yourself every day, right? So why would you attack your immune system every day with the same idea of action? You wouldn't. And that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never thought about it like that. Like, I don't even think that I really recognize that when you do get the vaccines, it is, I knew that, but I don't know why that just clicked for me. I feel like I just had like this biggest aha moment. It's like, yes, you are basically teaching your body to be able to fight these things with that burst of that shot.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys do it like a little bit at a time. So it's not so overwhelming.
Yeah. So it's kind of like your body keeps it top of mind that it needs to be able to fight this off, but it's not physically fighting it off, which is what happens if you're taking so much. And so when you say microdosing, the functional microdosing are mushrooms. It's not the psychedelic ones. It is the functional ones, but it's what's allowing your immune system to stay vigilant, but not yet tired in doing so. It's like, you don't want the same person doing the neighborhood watch 24/7.
Yeah.
nothing would get seen.
Yeah. And it's like working out, right? You have to keep your muscles strong. If you don't use it, you lose it. But if you do too much of it and you exacerbate yourself, then you also lower your immune system. So it's like this balance. And that's like the science behind mushroom design. Like, you've got so many little things that I think are just overlooked. And there was something else that I was reading about for you guys, and you talk about bioavailability. I don't know what that word means. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes. So bioavailability is basically what is the best way that your body can consume something. What's the easiest way?
Yeah.
And so you have molecules that are water soluble, and then you have oil soluble.
Okay.
So when something enters the body, if it is an oil soluble thing, but it's in the form of a powder or a water, you know, powder is water soluble, then your body has to work to convert it to oil soluble for the fat cells that need to take it on to then consume it most effectively. And then it's wasted its energy to be able to take it in as quickly or as effectively. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to bioavailability, we divide the water soluble and the oil soluble contents in the way that your body would consume it anyway. So like certain aspects of mushrooms have water soluble and oil soluble content. So we divide out what would be what your body would take as the oil and what your body would take as the water and put it accordingly. And that's why we're beads within oil. So the beads are the powder that is water soluble, and then the oil is fat.
Okay. So that makes total sense. So it's, again, the balance, the yin and the yang, making sure that you have the ability to absorb the vitamins that are coming into your body. And you guys have a lot of things that are coming up. You kind of briefly talked about it earlier. Tell the listeners about this. It's just, again, circular. Everything is intentional, taking the leftovers from when you guys make the capsules and making it into protein powder. So tell us about how you guys came up with that. And, you know, we're expecting it in the next couple of months so people can check it out when it comes.
So my chief scientist, Zach, actually discovered the protein content, because, you know, I'm always looking at, okay, we have this leftover from what goes into this vitamin. What can we do with this? Like, does this go to feeding the next batch? Like, is this usable? And Zach was like, let me do the profiles on it. Let me see what's in it. And we found, you know, massive amounts of protein and fiber that we were not expecting at all. And it's interesting because if you've ever tasted brown rice protein, it is disgusting. Like, it's like so bad. And so when I tasted this, I was like, what? Like, this is so good. This is better than pea protein, better than pumpkin seed protein. Like, why is this so good? And we think it's because the mushrooms like digest it, right? So it takes away the bad, by growing on it, the mushrooms digest it and it takes away some bad texture and weird flavor. And like, literally, Zach and I, when we were testing these flavors, we were expecting this to be like an umami flavor, whatever. It's one of the best protein powder we've ever had. I was just like, this is crazy. So we were super excited by that. But it's also exciting that this is a waste product, that yes, it could go back to feeding mushrooms, but then you lose the potency on the mushrooms because they're not being able to pull up as much fiber from the, you know, we decided that this was not only the best case use, it was also the best tasting and best application of it.
Yeah.
And then our other product lineup, a lot of our formulations, they're going to be capsules or tinctures or gummies. We're deciding based on, you know, what the products are. But it is, again, bringing more herbal functional things to the market in a way that is digestible to that, yeah. right? So I have been taking oregano oil, propolis, echinacea for like 5 years whenever I think I'm getting sick, and it nips a cold in like 2 days.
Nice.
It is not easy to find. You can go on Amazon and you can get like oregano oil and you get this and you can get that, but then you're still encountering the same thing where it's like five different jars for one solution. So
yes.
we are combining mushrooms, like agaricon being an antiviral, with propolis and with oregano oil, because that is like a complete natural antiviral. And then we have our cholesterol management that's going to come out. So always in an effort to bring an herbal remedy in a more science-backed situation that's still supportive of the environment, of course.
Yeah, it's so amazing, because if you think about the oregano oil, is something that I have a book that's the Cure is in the Cupboard, and it's a book all on oregano and how it helps disinfect, kill, fight viruses, things like that. And so it's just taking the wisdom of the plants, like you mentioned before, and it's all been done in the past. We've had these nutrients and, you know, ways to fight these viruses and bacteria this whole time. It's just a matter of taking the time like you have to find out what it is that we need to do to maximize our health, not impact the planet, make sure that we're doing it naturally. But I've always been curious, because I take my vitamins like first thing in the morning, but when do you think the best time of the day is to take your supplement?
Between morning until noon. If you're super sensitive to caffeine, then you're probably sensitive to B vitamins, just because they're a bit energy boosting. So I don't ever recommend taking any form of B vitamin after 12. But again, you don't need to have any food in your system, because it's bioavailable. So, you know, you don't have to worry about your getting an upset stomach, because it's divided in a way that your body will receive it effectively anyway.
Okay. And I know that we were talking a little bit about like misconceptions with mushrooms earlier, like everybody kind of really only thinks about the recreational use. So I wanted you to maybe highlight a few things that are misconceptions with mushrooms, and maybe some things that people are not familiar with.
Sure. So of course there's a consumer education component that these are not the mushrooms from the 80s. and functional mushrooms have been used for ages. You know, it goes back to in ancient Greece, agaricon was actually used to treat tuberculosis.
Oh.
In Asia, turkey tail is a component of it is in a pharmaceutical drug called Crestin, which has been used for, I think, 20 years at this point, as adjunct therapy to chemotherapy.
Okay.
To help the immune system. So it's, you know, it's very well documented how these functional mushrooms work in essentially everywhere except the United States.
Yeah.
So we're still in this scenario of no mushrooms are not poisonous. No, they're not dirty. Yeah. If you go into the forest yourself and forage for mushrooms, they're dirty. They're full of dirt, but that is not, especially if you're buying CGMP standardized.
They're washed.
They're in a facility that like you can't enter unless you're wearing a hairnet and your feet have been scrubbed in a little chemical wash. And, you know, like it is, it's like lab, like truly clean. And of course, most mushrooms are not psychedelic. And you should never worry that a mushroom is psychedelic if you're buying it online, because it's not legal to sell psychedelics online. So like,
that would be a weird surprise.
Yeah.
And so just like to round out the interview, I think this has been really informational for me, especially because I do take supplements, and like I do have about 6 tincture jars that I do take in the morning, also because I'm plant-based. So I'm like trying to make sure that I have the supplements. I'm not the type of plant-based person that eats like vegetables. I eat like diet pizza. So it's not good. So I have to take the supplements. It's like, you're not getting B12 because they're like, it's not because I'm not eating meat. No, it's because I eat like crap. So I do take all of those supplements, but if you could leave the listeners with one thing, and just if they were to take away one thing from this interview, what would you want them to know?
To take the time to know what you're putting in your body and how you feel as a result. And I'm not saying, you know, you need functional mushrooms. I'm not saying you need mushroom design, but I am saying that, be mindful, because everything you put into your body is data, right? And if you're putting crap data in, you're going to get bad algorithms out, or, you know, you're, the computer is going to die a lot sooner than you want it to.
Get a virus, literally.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so much on the market of, you know, probiotic, prebiotic, like maximize your immune system, do all this, but take a minute. And does it make sense, like, to be taking this much, or to be, you know, killing your body with this many supplements? Because too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Like, you can literally die from overhydration, and, you know, water is the best thing in the world. So yeah. Does it make sense if you're consuming, you know, 5,000 milligrams of mushrooms in a supplement? Can you think of a time ever where you would be eating that every day, like that amount of mushrooms, or that amount of even oregano oil, whatever it is?
Yeah.
Just pay attention and connect with what you're consuming. And I'm not sitting here saying you have to, like, breathe on everything you eat, because, well, that's beautiful. I don't have time to do that. And I don't think everybody else does either. But, you know, it's, you know, what's on my kitchen counter, what's in my, you know, medicine cabinet, what am I consuming daily? What am I eating? And in your case, like, you're plant-based, and you're like, I need supplements because I don't eat meat, but I know I don't eat the best. Like, that's awareness, right? That's knowing what you're putting in and knowing to supplement. And it would be a shame if you were like, well, I don't eat meat, I'm fine, but you're not really getting your nutrients. So it's truly awareness and non-judgment. Don't judge yourself for, like, okay, I'm not eating my vegetables. Just know that that can impact how you feel, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was a nice little nugget to leave the interview on. And I'm so happy to have you again, like, seeing a young female entrepreneur just going and following her dreams, kicking butt and just totally killing it. I cannot wait to see what happens with the protein powder. And the second that psychedelics become legal, I'm not saying I'm your first customer, but maybe I'm your first customer. I don't know. So thank you for joining
us.
Thank
you so much.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us on the show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you all for joining us on another episode of Conscious Basket. And just a small reminder, Conscious Basket is not just hosting interviews. We are in the process of launching our marketplace, where our goal is to make it super easy for you to make conscious decisions about what you're buying by knowing the origin of the products and services. We're using our technology to highlight a transparent supply chain with our vendors, which means you know what goes into those products and where they came from, to make sure those things you buy don't weigh on your conscience. And to ensure this peace of mind, we have developed a score to rank the sustainability of the purchase. For instance, how much water is being used, trees saved, animal lives, human rights, and so on. So, if you're an entrepreneur with a sustainable product and would be interested in being on the platform, please email us at info@consciousbasket.com. Also, if you're an entrepreneur, thought leader, or academic that would like to be a guest on the show, please drop us a line at the same email. And if you're just interested in taking a closer look at us, you can also take a look at our website, which is www.consciousbasket.com. And as always, you can explore the topics we discussed in the show notes and find many more topics on all of our social platforms. So give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn @ConsciousBasket. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to our show and leave us a comment with any key takeaways. I read them all. Share with your friends, family, post a screenshot on your social about the podcast so that we can extend our reach to help propel our movement forward. Finally, just another small reminder that perfectionism is not the goal here. In my opinion, perfectionism is what gets in the way of all of us collectively picking what I like to call your thing, which is whatever you choose to make a positive impact on this world. Thank you again for joining us.